Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Toonami Therapy. We took the previous week off, but we're back to cover the things that aired 2 weeks ago, essentially. So we're going to be all caught up with this now. But before we get into that, there's some news. Do you want to share it?
There's going to be a new show called Black Clover, and it's coming to Toonami, and Toonami is expanding by half an hour to include the new show and not kick out any of the current shows that are on the air. So that's probably the best news we've had in a while. Except, though, I don't know the slightest thing about Black Clover, so it could end up being really bad, or it could end up being really good. We'll find out. So, really looking forward to seeing what this one's all about.
Oh, that's the news? I thought you were going to mention about how it's the 1430th anniversary of the Treaty of Andelot. But, yes, Black Clover, that is also important news. This is one that I've actually read the manga of, so it'll be interesting. I've seen, just like one or two episodes of the, show subbed, so I'm going to be, but I guess this time I'll actually be watching, the whole thing, and also, dubbed, which, hopefully will have Asta's voice be less annoying. A lot of people complained about his voice in the sub, not even his voice, just the way. And this is probably the fault of voice direction, just the way he just kind of screams a lot of stuff. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm actually going to be really curious to see some of your opinions on it. But we'll get to that next week, I suppose. Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah, that really surprised me because I knew this was on Funimation's simuldub service, where, you know, just a few weeks after it airs in Japan, they have a dubbed episode out.
Right.
And I thought, oh, okay. And when My Hero Academia was never put on Toonami, I just thought, okay, it's because they want to advertise their own simuldub service on their website, so they didn't offer it. And I'm going to guess that Black Clover won't be added in as a result, but then they did. So, I don't know, there's probably, like, behind the scenes shenanigans that I don't know about that explain everything.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So, let's get up now to the stuff that aired, which it was November 18th and 19th. So we'll start with Dragon Ball Super. So as we remembered, the last time the tournament ended with Beerus's, our universe winning. And Champa got super angry about it, but then a guy showed up who apparently was really important. And we find out who he is. He is Zeno and is apparently the ruler of all of the universes or something. And to cut to the short of it, a new tournament is announced for all 12 of the universes. Which as someone points out, makes this whole this tournament feel completely pointless in retrospect. But yeah, so that's either, I don't know if that'll be like the next arc, or if we're going to have something, or if, you know, that's just coming up later, like after something. But yeah, so that's apparently something that's going to happen. Anyway, so they end up, so because they won, they get the Super Dragon Balls, but they're still missing the last one, which turns out to actually be the planet they were on. How convenient. So they end up, summoning the dragon, who's so large it makes Tengen, Toppa, Gurren Lagann actually look kind of small. So they decide to, make the wish, which requires you speaking in the divine language, which, if you have the captions on, is obviously, it's just the English words written backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if you caught that or not.
No, I did.
Okay.
I always have the captions on because I have a hard time hearing those shows, so, yeah.
Okay. Why would you have trouble hearing? They're screaming all the time.
Well, that's just it. I have to turn it down so the screaming doesn't wake up my parents. So
okay. So anyway, they end up making Beerus ends up making his wish, which it turns out is just to, because as we remember, Earth basically got destroyed in Ciampa's universe, so he wishes to have it come back in his universe, which would allow him to, you know, taste all the food there and stuff that he didn't have access to. And he just, except he just claims that he just did it to make Ciampa owe him something.
Mm-hmm.
So then everyone just kind of heads home, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, and well, what was that peas and carrots thing?
Oh, yeah, that's apparently, like, the something you have to say. You have to, like, say, I can't remember the full thing, with, like, come forth, dragon, and grant my wish, peas and carrots.
No, I just have to wonder, was it, whenever they said peas and carrots, were they, did they use the Japanese words for that in the original, or did they say the English word? The words in English in the Japanese version.
Oh, that's an interesting question. And now all of a sudden, I wish I had pulled out, I had pulled up like the Japanese version just to see if that was what happened, if that was what they said
right
there.
Yeah.
Let me.
No, yeah. You don't have to look it up. I just was curious.
Okay, although actually, Yeah, I'm just, well, there is one thing I can maybe, see, let's see, let me just take a quick, here, okay, that didn't, help, I decided to try to see if I could get the Japanese episode translated someplace and see if, like, if there's a more literal thing, but, Google Translate does not recognize what part of the thing, means necessarily, so I don't know, but yeah, we got that. I am not entirely sure about whether that is okay. Hang on, let me see if this would explain. Okay, this probably would. I think in the Japanese one it was And maybe it's translated this way because it's some sort of pun, but it's just you're supposed to say, grant my wish, pretty please.
Okay.
Apparently. So I'm going to guess, so I don't know if this was a creative translation or maybe it's a figure of speech that means peas and carrots that translates to pretty please. And it's just something that doesn't really translate, right into English, but yeah. Maybe I'll look some more into that later, but that was Dragon Ball Super, basically a transition episode, but it was still, I thought, reasonably entertaining.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dragon Ball Z Kai episode 140. So, essentially, Gohan is still doing the powering up thing, which involves him just sitting there while the old guy is, supposedly powering him up. But then he apparently just falls asleep. And when Gohan calls him on it, he says, no, I wasn't asleep. I was just in deep concentration. meanwhile, Goten and Trunks end up doing the fusion thing as Super Saiyans. But then they just decide to run off to fight Boo. But by that time, the fusion time has basically fallen out. So they end up having to go back to the lookout anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in terms, what ultimately ends up happening, as we remembered, Mr. Satan was with Boo during this time. So Boo kind of goes out, leaves, and Mr. Satan is planning to set up the house with explosives to kill Boo when he comes back, which actually wouldn't work, as we know. But props on him for trying.
Yeah.
But Boo comes back with this little dog it's got its legs broken, and because which Boo brings him back because he was confused why the dog doesn't run away from him, And so Mr. Satan goes like, well, you know, his legs are broken, so Boo just heals on that, except then the dog really likes him and such and stuff, and still doesn't run off to Boo's puzzlement. Anyway, so we basically find out that the whole Boo's all of, like, rampant destruction was mostly just because he was kind of told to do that and didn't actually have any idea that there was any problems with it. So Mr. Satan's like, well, actually, it's not really nice to go around killing people. Boo's like, okay, I'll stop. And and I love how, like, Mr. Satan immediately thinks, yes, my charisma won the day. You know, we've still got about 25 episodes left, so that can't quite necessarily be the end. So some hunter guys who just have decided they're going to try to kill Boo show up, and then they shoot the dog.
Literally.
Literally, yeah. I thought the name of that trope was like kick the dog, or was there one called shoot the dog?
I think there was one. They deleted a lot of stuff off TV tropes, I noticed. There was, like, some big purging that went on. They, like, purged the site of a whole bunch of offensive stuff.
I don't know if they necessarily, like, deleted some of the stuff. Or maybe they just renamed it. I know they renamed a bunch of stuff. But no, there is, in fact, there is a trope, shoot the dog. Which, according to them, is when, something sort of dubious morality needs to be done, but you don't want, like, you know, the hero, the main character, to have to do it, so you have someone else do it instead. Basically. Which has nothing to do with this. But anyway, so then they're like, yeah, did you get that? We're coming for you, Majin. Next, Majin Buu. Okay, first of all, these guys are complete idiots. Because, one, even if they would have been able to actually kill Boo with their guns, which they can't, it's really stupid to alert him of your presence like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that act basically seems to really shell-shock Boo, which is basically where the episode ends, on the question of, you know, whether this is going to revert him or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the stuff with Gohan was, you know, a little amusing, but still just kind of same old, same old. It was the most entertaining stuff was, of course, with Mr. Satan, which is actually pretty typical on Dragon Ball. I've noticed him being the best part. All right, so moving on to JoJo.
Yeah.
All right, episode 15. So. After Enya, apparently killed Whole Horse, but Polnareff comes down, and she's able to hide the body. And I actually thought this was really funny, because she's super angry at Polnareff, you know, secretly, because of him killing her son. Except Polnareff has no idea of any of this, so he keeps doing things that just make her more annoyed and angry at him. Like, he's talking, you know, about the possibility of her having kids, which, of course, just angers her. And then she mentions, well, my son died. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to make up for it by giving you a back rub, which, again, just infuriates her even more. I just thought Polnareff's, like, cluelessly just irritating her more and more was pretty amusing. Anyway, but Whole Horse, it turns out, didn't actually get killed, which alerts Polnareff to that. And we discover what her stand's power is, which is if she damages you, actually, I'm not sure if you had to just be hurt or if she specifically had to do it. I can't remember. But whichever one it is, that lets her control you. And all the various citizens we saw in the previous episode were actually zombies under her control. So Polnareff ends up kind of having to run for it, but is still... takes refuge in a bathroom, but ends up getting... hurt, and then she basically starts trying to force him to lick the toilet. Then the writer remembers, oh wait, this show is called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. We need to have the JoJo character actually do something. So Chotaro comes to try to find Polnareff. Enya is again sort of able to through some stuff manage to harm him, but he's able to win by using his stand's ability because her stand justice is like a fog, so he can't really punch it. So he just has his stand suck it up, like breathe, take a super deep breath and suck it all in, which has the effect of making Enya unable to breathe while she's doing that, and that defeats her. So they take her captive to try to help them find Dio. And then there's just some kind of comedic stuff with Polnareff trying to, use antiseptic on his tongue after what happened. Oh, and Whole Horse just kind of runs off to show up again later on, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
It was an entertaining episode.
I liked the episode. I just had to point out that the show should probably be called Polnareff's Bizarre Adventure right now, because he seems to be the main character. So, yeah.
Yeah, he does get a lot of attention. I actually remember before this aired, someone making the comment that, like, after he shows up, the show really becomes about him. So, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of episodes left. Maybe Chotaro gets more focus. But, yeah, over the last few episodes, Polnareff has definitely been getting the lion's share of the focus. The title of the show possibly being a misnomer aside, I mean, it still was an entertaining episode. I liked the fact that Zelda doesn't even show up in half of them doesn't mean a Legend of Zelda game is bad. All right, so that moves on to Iron-Blooded Orphans, episode 31. So the good guys and some not so good guys are in a sort of war against each other, and I'm kind of unclear about some of the specifics, like what they're actually fighting for. But the big thing is that it's some sort of stalemate thing, and honestly, most of the episode is just basically establishing that.
Yeah, it was really boring, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only really important stuff is that the rest of the main characters do manage to make it to Earth, but they're not allowed clearance to land because of the situation. One of the guys, who's apparently one of the sort of leaders on for our team, so to speak, is actually in apparent cahoots with the other side to try to, make the whole thing just keep lasting long. And then another guy, McGillis, just decides, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm going to end this stalemate myself if I have to, and just heads out. And that was basically everything that happened.
Yeah. I didn't find this episode to be very useful. It just seemed to be, I don't know. It just wasn't very interesting.
Well, I think it was okay. My big issue is just the way this and the previous episode just suddenly seemed to, like, jump to something. Like, the previous episode, it suddenly jumps to, like, the Earth branch and suddenly has all this focus on that. And then here, it just suddenly jumps to, like, this sort of war going on. And it just feels very sudden, in doing that, the way that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, made me think, wait, did I miss something? Was there more of a transition or something that I didn't see? Mm. All right. So, Hunter x Hunter episode 74.
Yeah, well, this wasn't very difficult to explain. All that really happens is Gon, who was getting beat up in the previous episode, well, he's just too hard to take down, and he ends up building up enough power and figuring out how to beat Genthru, including getting a giant boulder to fall on top of him, And basically, Genthru and all those, the other guys, are all captured. And then we spend about half an episode just on healing them. Who gets healed, who doesn't? Well, they decide everyone gets healed. So everyone feels better. And that's that. And now there's going to be a quiz. And whoever scores best on this quiz will get the 100th card, which if they don't, if Gon and Killua don't win this quiz, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, because that's the only card they have left to capture. So if they don't get that last card, I don't know what they're going to do, because they refuse to steal cards off other players. So they better get this quiz right. We'll find out next week if they are smart enough to ace the quiz.
Yeah, what I find, well, I guess it hasn't given the full details on the quiz yet, but I think they kind of said it. So basically, once someone gets 99 in the cars, a quiz starts up and everyone in the game gets to try to answer the questions, and they're all like about the cards you got. So as it mentions, if you actually got the cards, you'd know more than if you just took them from someone. And whoever gets the highest score gets the prize, which then makes me think just essentially, wow. There was no real reason to actually have for anyone to fight over the cards, because all that was necessary was one person gets all of them, and then everyone has a chance to win.
Right.
So it just was. So it just seems like, well, then there was no point for any competition here, because it all just comes down to this final thing. Yeah. It's kind of I'm trying to think of a good one, example. I can't think of one, but it just makes the whole gathering of the things, and any sort of competition just feel kind of, like I said, moot, because just if everyone cooperated and got the stuff, then this would just happen anyway, and then it would actually. And it means the winner isn't even necessarily the person who gets all the cards together anyway. So just kind of makes it feel like the game just turned into a different game all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. I never claimed this was a very well written arc of the show. Okay, so this arc. I just think we'll be happy whenever it's over, because the next arc has its own problems, but at least they're different problems than the ones we have now. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I will say a few things for this episode. I actually did mostly like, Gon's fight against Genthru. I mean, it was just a kind of, I'm losing, but I turn the tables and manage to win. But some of the techniques and strategies he used, I thought were actually kind of cool. So I'll give some credence for that, at least. I will say one thing that was a little weird was, that other guy doesn't want to use the angel's breath to heal Genthru and his gang, and then this starts up the big moral discussion about healing them and stuff, and I'm just thinking, look, Genthru says that his condition for giving you the cards is that you heal his companion, so just heal him, and then you get your stuff. You don't have to worry about it's not a question of whether it's right or wrong. It's just you need to do it in order to get the thing you want. It just kind of felt like they just had to say, well, we need to do this in order to win the game. So, that seemed like that would have been a convincing argument to the guy. Actually, I did. The fact that Genthru actually did want one of his allies to be healed, meaning he actually, you know, cares about them rather than just using them, was actually an interesting part of his character. But unfortunately, it's one of those things that just is kind of there that wasn't really made use of much. If I remember correctly, this is basically this, after this, we don't really see them again. So. Just seems like that was a character trait that could have been expanded on and made more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's Hunter Hunter. We got Lupin the Third, episode 20. So in this,
Sorry, I just thinking about this episode makes me laugh because it was so bizarre.
I know. I'm trying to think of how to explain what happened. So basically, Nyx gets sort of forced by that guy who I think was supposed to be the head of MI6, Sir Percival, into working for him again. And Lupin is trying to get the Dragon's Tail, which is like some CD with all the information about the agents. And a whole bunch of stuff happens. And I'm sorry to just say it like that, but I'm just not sure how to explain this. Just a bunch of stuff happens and they have the adventure. Essentially, what they manage to do is that with Lupin's help, Nyx is able to temporarily fake his death to make Percival think he did, he's gone. But then Percival's like, well, because I'm apparently going to be a total jerk now, because so that the audience won't feel bad for me, I'm going to decide to kill off his family. But then Nyx, fights him and stops him. But then, when it seems like Percival might be able to, you know, get her hand, that Da Vinci guy shows up and, you know, just kind of lets Nyx, I'm sorry. He stopped when Nyx looks like he's going to kill Percival. The Da Vinci guy shows up and just kind of convinces him to stop and to leave.
And then he goes and kills Percival anyway.
Well, technically, what happens? That was only because Percival decides to try to kill him, and I think it was a little confusing. I thought the implication was that he like made Percival's gun like backfire, which meaning that when Percival like shot it, it like backfired and killed himself instead. I think that was what we were supposed to take from it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so. That all happens to sort of resolve that loose end, and Lupin ends up with the CD, whatever he's going to do with it, or maybe he just has it and it'll just kind of be done after this episode. I don't know. It was just a weird episode.
Yeah, and what I learned from this episode is that gunshots do absolutely nothing. Because how many of these people were getting shot by guns and survived, you know? Especially Lupin. He had like hundreds of shots fired at him.
Wait, you're only learning this now about this series?
No. No, I just had to point it out again.
Although, yeah, well, no, that's the thing. Guns can be amazing as long as you're not actually trying to kill anyone with them. That's why Jigen is able to perfectly shoot guns out of people's hands, but you never see him you pretty much never see him actually hit someone when he's shooting at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the guns in the world have some sort of like will deliberately miss when actually aimed at a person.
The Force.
Okay, so Naruto Shippuden episode 181. We got more filler, and I decided to look ahead, and get used to this sort of thing. There's a lot of flashback filler coming up.
So this is just a trend. This is going to keep on coming, because Oh man, I checked out of this one pretty quickly because I was like, I know this is filler and we're never going to see either of these characters again. So, and I was just hoping this was the end of the filler, but from what you say, there's going to be more.
Yeah, I was looking at some of these things. It looks like there's going to be and this particular form of filler where something happens that reminds someone of a past adventure that we never saw before and will never be referred to again. And then we get to see that event in the past. That's apparently something like a lot of the upcoming episodes are going to be with that. I don't know if I all of them are, but I know at least a lot of the next, well, this is going to make you sad, but the next 15 or so episodes are going to be of this variety. At least a lot of them. So yeah, I will say one thing I do like is when they do these sort of flashbacks, I really like the fact they do bring back a lot of the music stuff that they pretty almost never use in like the current episodes. It does kind of give it more of a feeling of, yes, this happened in the past. Remember these these background musics that you haven't heard outside of these? They're back. So I like that, but other than that, it's just filler and not particularly interesting filler. And it's also flashback filler, which makes it so that it doesn't really even matter within the show itself, if you know what I mean. It's not even something that's happening in the present, even if it's filler. So, yeah. Oh, I suppose I should say what actually happened. So they come across this guy who's trying to take some sort of vendetta, but then it turns out that all sorts of weird misunderstanding stuff happened, and the guy who was trying to kill was actually the twin brother of the guy who actually did the thing, and there was convoluted stuff. And I'm sorry, I don't care enough to go into more detail. I apologize. Just look up the synopsis of this episode if you really want to see it. All right. And but now we oh, I always for I'm always forgetting. It was Outlaw Star, then Ghost in the Shell, right? Okay. Outlaw Star, episode 12. So anyway, the McDougal brothers, who have that El Dorado ship, leave that message to Gene to sort of challenge him to sort of a sort of battle, to possibly answer his questions. Oh, and we also find out that whole thing because Aisha was trying to find information on the Galactic Ley Line, and we find out that basically it's this place that contains some amazing treasure, which basically means that yes, it's One Piece except in space. But in terms of the main thing, they end up going there and they're having trouble going against the El Dorado. And eventually, they do manage to figure out what's going the trick, which is that there's actually two of them, which is making it seem like it's more maneuverable than it is. So after they figure that out, our heroes are able to get to one of them and sort of grab it. And Gene boards it and goes after the guys. And then he meets one of them, one of the McDougal brothers, and sort of tries to interrogate him. And although that guy does try to actually, come to think of it, this is actually something like out of Ghost in the Shell, where he's able to try to mentally hack their ship. But Gene does notice that and then just shoots the little wire thing off of him to stop him, which and ends up actually revealing that he's actually kind of oh, I can't remember which McDougal he was. Was he this one, the younger green-haired one? Which turns out that he's actually
Harry.
that Harry that he's
Harry.
actually kind of a wimp, and it's implied that it's his older brother that's actually the one who does most of the who is actually the one who handles most of the things. Anyway, so Gene just wants to know why his ship was there when he back when he was a kid and his father died, but he doesn't know. Anyway, so basically everyone manages So they end up getting away, and that's kind of, and that's basically the episode.
Yeah, what I took away from this episode is that, how can I put it? This Malfina, the way she's used, it just seems to be a little, I don't know, like the only purpose she has on the show is to be naked, you know? I mean, it just, I just can't see something like this being on the air today. It just, it doesn't sit well with me. I don't know, like Malfina's only purpose is to sit there, be naked, and in this episode, kind of be raped, which, yeah, it just, I don't know, it just did not sit well with me.
Well, when they originally aired this on Toonami, they actually did sort of digitally alter the thing so she was always in some sort of like a, so that instead of being naked, she was apparently in some sort of bikini instead. So there was that. But, well, I do seem to remember she gets more development and focus later on in the series. So,
mm-hmm.
But that's what I remember anyway. Yeah, there was that. That was a little weird. I thought it was an okay episode. The sort of like battle itself was kind of interesting, but there wasn't really too much to really write to say that much about it. Otherwise, it was just a decent episode that did what it kind of came out to do.
Yeah.
All right. Ghost in the Shell, episode 30. Now, have you been having any, so I don't know if you've been able to see this one or not, or?
Well, what's the name of the episode?
Natural Enemy.
Nope, I didn't see that one on there.
Yeah, I don't know when Adult Swim is going to actually get the stuff, like, synced up. I mean, they've got, like, episodes 7 and 8, so maybe it'll, if I remember correctly, with the first season, for a while they didn't do it, but then it started working, so maybe we have to wait until they get to episode 7, and then it'll start working right? I don't know. Basically, in this episode, they were doing some sort of live fire exercise, but then one of the guys in the helicopter has a heart attack and dies. But the AI, but this makes the AI of the helicopter sort of go into some sort of weird default thing where it starts thinking everything's an enemy, and they end up having to, you know, find a way to stop it without, but preferably, you know, without just destroying the thing and causing it to fall. Anyway, they managed to do that because, you know, they're the main characters, and yeah, not too much that really to say about that. It does imply that there might be some sort of conspiracy behind the thing, which I assume will be part of the season's story arc. Other than that, I did want to mention there's a really funny stuff where the Tachikoma are trying to get out of the mission. So one says, "Oh, we can't do it. We have stomach aches."
Well, I wish I would have seen that, but unfortunately, I don't have any way of seeing these Ghosts in the Shell episodes, so.
Yeah. All right. So that was Toonami for 2 weeks ago. Now, next week will actually be, you know, just, I'll be able to say last week again. I guess we can then go for what we thought were the best episodes of the night. For me, it is definitely, yeah, it's JoJo. I thought it was a fun episode.
Yeah, I have to agree with JoJo for this week because, I don't know, some of that stuff with Malfina, it was just a little too disturbing, and I don't know, I don't like that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I Outlaw Star kind of put me off this week, so I'll go with JoJo.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much, that for that. Then, I guess we've, do you have, dang it, and I had some great thing to say here. I remembered it, and now I can't remember what I was going to say. It was even some, I knew I had some sort of interesting fact or something to say, and now I can't remember what it is. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Do you have anything to say to distract from the fact that I forgot?
No, unfortunately I don't.
Okay. Well, I guess that'll be it for today. We will see you next week where we start review the first episode of Black Clover.